Citizen Reporter 202, 8th of May 2007.
Down on Skid Row, picking poles, pushing stolen carts, fishing for things others have thrown away. Looking for a place to stay, to spend the night.
Anyone who criticizes or opposes Senator McCarthy's methods must be a communist. And if that be true, there are an awful lot of communists in this country.
Back beneath the fire escape, in between the alleyway, behind the church of Latter-day, wrapped up in newspaper.
As long as there is a lower class, I am in it. As long as there is a criminal element, I am of it. As long as there is a soul in prison, I am not free.
Perhaps a bit burlesque in a dinner jacket.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the program. I am your host, Bicycle Mark, coming to you today from Brussels, Belgium, and this is the podcast that focuses on underreported news and global concerns. Today, we're talking about the case of a blogger. And as you know, as long as there has been blogging, there have been people getting in trouble for writing their thoughts, for expressing themselves online. And one place where people have not only gotten in trouble but been arrested is Egypt. And today we're talking about the specific case of a man that goes by the name of Monim. We have a special guest on the line, and she's going to talk to us about the case, what happened, why, and what hope is there when it comes to this blogger and other bloggers expressing themselves and facing the consequences. All this and more today on the program. My guest today on the line from Santiago, Chile, is a blogger concerned with digital activism. Mary, good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm glad we could. We've had some trouble getting this show technically going, but here we are.
Yes.
And I started doing research about this name, Monim. I like you, probably a long time ago. I learned about this blogger who's been jailed in Egypt, but I wanted to give people some background because I'm assuming many haven't been paying attention, haven't noticed, but would like to know. So first of all, who was he before he was arrested? What was he doing? And let's find out who we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, so this Egyptian blogger, his name is Abdul Monim Mahmoud, and he lives in Alexandria in Egypt, and he is a blogger. He writes about the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an Islamist political party in Egypt, and he's like their most important blogger. So that's a little bit of background. I think he has a journalism degree and a law degree, and he's actually also the correspondent, TV correspondent for an Arabic channel called Al Hiwar.
And the context that he's working in, of course, I think a lot of people listening will know something about the political situation in Egypt. But just to be short about it, we've had the same leader there for going on over a decade. Is that right?
Yeah. Hosni Mubarak has been in power for quite some time now. And there actually were elections in Egypt, I want to say, in 2004. And those were very important. And one thing that came about through those elections was that several dozen members of the Muslim Brotherhood came into power. They were elected to the parliament. And In fact, this was not something that the president wanted, and he actually the forces of the regime actually went to the extent of preventing people from voting because they were voting for the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Brotherhood is, in my mind, is popular for two reasons in Egypt. One is it's a religious party, and people are very strongly believing Muslims, and so they, to them, Islam is something that it's honest, it's stable, it's something that they want to base their lives around and their politics, and also it represents a separation and reform from what Egypt currently is politically, which is very corrupt and very dictatorial, and people don't have, you know, their civil rights are squashed all the time, like when I'm being put in prison. So that's a little bit of the political background. Also, there are secular opponents to the regime, and a lot of bloggers are secular bloggers, like Ala would be considered secular. Also, Karim, which is another blogger in jail, would be considered secular, even more secular than Ala. But both these groups of opponents are being persecuted by the regime for the same reason, which is that they want a free Egypt.
Mm. And let's focus on the blogger and the bloggers in general in these types of situations, and then Monam's case. And then later I would like to talk about the Brotherhood because it's important. But in the case of Monam, I mean, he's not the first blogger to be arrested in Egypt. But what makes his case, what are the aspects that make it different?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's really different. I mean, he's the first Muslim Brotherhood blogger who's been arrested. The other bloggers who were arrested were more of the secular side, like Ala. There was a big campaign around him when he was arrested in 2005, I want to say. And there were other bloggers arrested at the same time. And there's another blogger, Karim, who's put in prison, and he's secular. But I guess the difference with Monam is his political persuasion.
And just to be clear for people who are listening, now we come to the Muslim Brotherhood, which he is not necessarily an operative of, but he's a blogger who he writes favorably about them. Is that correct? I mean, could we call that a more conservative type or a more to the right movement?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, it's a reform movement that's based in a religion. So, but within that group, there are different strains. Like, there's definitely a strain of the Muslim Brotherhood that advocates violence. I mean, there is. And I think that's the part of the Muslim Brotherhood that most people know. But the Muslim Brotherhood now is becoming more moderate. And there's actually an article in the New York Times. I recommend you that anyone who's listening, Google it. And it's called Islamic Democrats, and it's written by James Traub, and it was published a week ago, about how the Muslim Brotherhood is really becoming more interested in civil liberties, civil rights, democracy, and less about forcing people to be religiously observant. So I would say that Monam is to the Muslim Brotherhood the way Kos is to the Daily Kos. He's talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, he's thinking about it, but he's also critical of it. So I would say that's his position. And let me just read a quote here from Monam just to give a better idea. Okay, so this is something he wrote in a blog and was translated into English, and it's on the Free Monam blog, which is freemonam.cyberversion, which is cyberversion.org. You can also Google it. And he writes, "We have to call for freedom and active participation whatever happens, however long it takes, however few and temporary the results may be. Freedom is more important than bulk box meals that are distributed during the month of Ramadan. Advocating as freedom is more important than sticking posters advocating prayer on the walls. Please, freedom is the ultimate priority." So this gives you an idea of what he's concerned with. Obviously, he's religious. He believes, you know, that, you know, Islam is a base for society, but he's much more concerned with things like civil rights and tolerance. And that's why he's so dangerous to the regime, because this is a very appealing message, and this is something that could bring the secularists and the Islamists together in imposing Mubarak.
And in this point in his situation, in his case, I wanted to say, I mean, in the past, you mentioned some of the bloggers that have been arrested and since have been freed. I was reading one of the other bloggers saying, you know, that he did manage to get out without being tortured. Is the situation already much worse? I mean, what are the chances that Monam gets out soon?
Well, I wouldn't say the situation is much worse. I mean, what happens when you're a political prisoner in Egypt, sometimes, often, is that they arrest you and they create some kind of phony charges, like possession of images damaging to the regime, or actually something that Monam was charged with was collaborating with human rights organizations to soil the image of the regime. So just charges to put someone in jail. And then what they do is they can have to give the person a 15-day provisional detention. What that means is you're in jail for 15 days and they don't have to take you to trial or anything because it's provisional. And what they can do is they can continue those provisional detentions of 15 days up to 6 months. And this actually has happened to Monam before. He's been in jail a few times before. So the worst that could, I mean, there are several bad things that could happen to being in Egyptian jail, but in terms of his sentence, it could be up to 6 months. And then, of course, they could charge him with something, and if they do that, then he could be in prison for years, like Karim, who's going to be in prison for 4 years for insulting Islam and the president. So that's the situation he's in.
Now, I've witnessed some different campaigns around the world using different blogs about bloggers, for example, in China, who are arrested. It is often something that becomes a very big rallying point online. But as we've mentioned, one of the tricky parts about this case is the Muslim Brotherhood and the way that if anyone knows anything about them, even just a little bit, often the one thing that they know is something that there is something to do with violence. And as you've made clear, there is a sect. There's always a aspect of a group within the group. And, you know, historically there were times. But, you know, with the campaign, how does the campaign, as far as you can tell and in your work perhaps, how does the campaign address this? Those people who are sitting home and they're going, I don't want to help that blogger. That's not the kind of blogger we should help because he works for that group. How do you answer?
Well, how we've been presenting it and what we believe is that this is a human rights issue, that you should be able to say whatever you believe. And Monam is not personally advocating violence in any way. He is advocating freedom and political change. So to that, I would say, to people who would say, I won't support this blogger, I would say, come to our website and read what he's actually written. And then if after you've actually read what he's written, then you still say, oh, I don't agree, then that's fine. But I would say, don't judge him based on this label. Because to him, I think this label means change, and it means empowerment for the people, and it means a better future for Egypt. So in his definition, Muslim Brotherhood means something very different. So I would say read his words and understand what this word means to him before you make a decision. And basically in our blog, in the Free Monam campaign blog, we really don't talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. We just talk about what he's written. And what he writes about is mostly about civil rights and human rights. So, that's how we were treating it.
And I want to ask you something more personally as someone concerned with rights, freedom of expression on the internet, as I can tell from as I read through on zapboom.com, which, of course, I'll put in the show notes for people to click on. Where do you think or where would you, I think you've already hinted at it, but I want to make it clear, if I put you in charge of a country or the world, because this is a question I ask myself a lot, where do you put that line between what is okay, what should be considered illegal in terms of expression? And this is something that, I mean, the people in Rwanda, post-genocide, have been sitting around trying to figure out. At what point do you think that there should be something, some intervention?
Yeah, no, that's completely legitimate. And I think I actually agree with what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled, that you can't advocate violence towards other people or call for violence towards other people. But other than that, it's open. So, for example, Karim is actually, in some ways, and with some populations, is a more controversial figure than Monam because he actually says things like Islam is evil. And actually, I don't want to take these words out of context, but he makes some very strong negative comments about Islam just because of the bigotry that comes out of belief among certain instances. And so people say, oh, he shouldn't have the right to say that. But I would say, yeah, it's very critical, but he's not, it's not expressing violence. He's not saying we should kill Muslims. If he said that, and he's not, then clearly, you know, I would oppose that. But yeah, I side with the Supreme Court that as long as you're, it's just expressing an opinion and you're not actually advocating violence towards other people, which is what happened in Rwanda. They were actually saying, go out in the streets and kill your neighbor, right. That you should be able to. But it, for me, for Monam, it's not even that difficult because everything Monam says, I agree with, which is really strange because I'm very secular, you know? So for me, it doesn't even get to that, oh, am I near the line? For me, I'm not even near the line with Monam.
Right, right. I definitely don't want to confuse the two. My mind started thinking more about violence and media. So finally, in a situation where you're working with the campaign and for the people in Egypt and outside of Egypt, what tools, what mechanisms are there to help get a blogger out of jail?
Okay, well, basically, I think our overall goal is putting pressure on the people who have control over Monam's imprisonment. And there's actually, I mean, there's different ideas about that. I mean, for instance, the Free Karim campaign is trying to focus pressure on the judge that's in charge of sentencing Karim. We're more just putting pressure generally on the Egyptian regime and on Mubarak. And the idea is to, I mean, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but to embarrass these people, say, this is ridiculous. The entire world is looking at you and is disgusted by what you're doing, by how you're trampling on the civil rights of this young man. So you have to change. And so, I mean, we're doing lots of different things. I mean, I think there was a protest. We're trying to get a lot of media attention. Basically, just kind of taking Egypt to the court of public opinion and showing Egypt, you are not supported in this. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you to let this man go.
Yeah. When I read through the words of the blogger who was freed, I keep making vague mentions of him. He said, you know, thanks to the pressure, actually, it made things for me better, even when I was incarcerated, I believe he said.
Actually, with Allah, that was actually an interesting case because I was actually involved in the Free Allah campaign too. And what Allah said after he got out was that he said, actually, it didn't help me get out of jail because it just made the powers that be think I was a greater threat. But what it did, irony of ironies. So, but what it did do is it protected me from torture because there was this idea, in the head of the regime that people are watching what's happening to this person. And that was true. We were watching what's happening to him. So it kind of, it protected him, even though it didn't get him out, it protected him. And Monam is actually very worried about his physical safety in prison now, because it's a very unhealthy situation, and people have diseases, parasites, and they're not allowed to seek medical attention, and there's overcrowding. So if we can draw attention and make sure that he isn't harmed, make sure he gets medical attention when he needs to, I mean, that's something.
All right. Well, Mary, I think we've got a lot of the facts out, and I'm thankful that you could take the time to explain this to me and to my audience. I know that there are plenty of people around the world that don't get this kind of news in the mainstream, but are hungry for it. And so thank you very much for that. If anyone wants to read your work, they can go to zapboom.com. That's zapboom.com, and there'll be a link. And as you mentioned, the free monim.cybversion.org, cybversion.org.
Yeah,
link to that as well.
Strange. Yeah, and also there's a petition by Reporters Without Borders to free Monam and Karim. So you can Google that and sign that if you'd like to take action.
Sounds good. And for sure, we'll check in with you again and hear about how things are changing, and we'll be watching on the blog.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Help me to smile, another smile, just one more smile. Don't think I can do things on my own. I never thought I needed help before. Thought that I could get by myself. But now I know I just can't take it anymore.
A few final notes before I close the program. Big thank you to Mary, zapboom.com. She was a very patient interview as we had many technical problems. In the coming days, I'm returning to Amsterdam, but those of you in the Berlin area, expect me in Berlin at the end of May. I've already had some requests for some interviews, for some meetups, and that's always a welcome thing. Also coming up, there'll be a program featuring a very special guest, formerly of the Dutch military, and I'll get into more specifics when I have the actual interview. He's going to sit down with me live in person. So you have that to look forward to and more if you just go over to my new domain, citizenreporter.org. And the old one still works, so don't worry too much about that. But I'm slowly moving things over to citizenreporter.org. That's where you can find this work, comment. You can recommend it to people who you might want to send over. Maybe they're interested. And otherwise, I'll catch you next time for another edition of Citizen Reporter. And thanks so much for listening. See you next time. See you.
By myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. And with a humble heart on bended knee, begging you please for help. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you please for help.